I'm sure that you've faced difficult times. Have those difficulties ever caused you to doubt God's goodness? The hardships we encounter should never distract us from the gracious blessings God has poured out on us. King David had the proper perspective. He faced many difficulties, but as he reflected on his life, he was filled with thanksgiving and praise to God. Stephen Davey has a lesson for you called A Final Poem and a Hall of Fame.
King David is entering his golden years, and we're going to listen to him now reflect on what God has done for him as he composes a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. We're in 2 Samuel today in chapter 22. We're going to come across this same song later on in our wisdom journey when we arrive at Psalm 18. But for today, I want to highlight four major ideas David sings about here in this great song. First, David sings of the Lord's sovereign protection. Notice how 2 Samuel 22 opens here at verse 1. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence." David refers to the Lord here as all of these things: rock, fortress, deliverer, shield, refuge. This is all part of David's testimony as he looks back over his life. There's been one moment after another of sovereign protection. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, that David sings of the Lord's saving power. He writes these lyrics here in verse 4. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Now, I've sung these same words in a little chorus I learned as a child. "I will call upon the Lord, and I am saved." Now, you might notice down in verse 18 that David sings of God. "He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me." And why did the Lord rescue David? Well, not because David deserved it. You know, not because he was some kind of special case that got preferential treatment. No, David was saved because it was God's delight to save him. Verse 20. This is a reference to the grace of God that's demonstrated through his saving power. Now, we need to slow down and explain the next few verses because on the surface, they kind of sound like David thinks he's without sin. Verse 24 reads, "I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight." How in the world does David sing this with Bathsheba over there in the next room, and the memory of Uriah, her former husband, sort of haunting David's past? Well, you need to understand that David isn't claiming to be sinless here. He's claiming God's forgiveness, and this is a wonderful theological truth here. When God forgives our sin, it's as if the slate is wiped perfectly clean. Did you know that God views you as a believer as blameless today? And it's only because his son took our blame and we're clean. David's future son, the Messiah, will pay the penalty for David's sins and yours and mine as well. And from that vantage point, then, we can view ourselves today as blameless, that is, no longer condemned, but forgiven. My friend, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins, all of them, past, present, and even future, are forgiven. That's because your status is changed. You used to be a sinner, now you're a saint. Now you still sin, but God sees you through the atoning blood of Jesus. So the Apostle John writes, "The blood of Jesus cleanses us." That tense is, it continually is cleansing us from all sin. we can also sing of God's saving power. Now, third, David sings of God's significant provision. God provides wisdom and direction. Verse 29 says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness." He also provides strength and victory. David says here in verse 40, "You equipped me with strength for the battle." Every day, every battle, every problem is met with God's significant provision. Finally, King David wraps up this song with a very sincere pledge here in verse 50. "For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name." In other words, I want to praise God, and I want to praise him before everyone I know. Now, with that, we come to chapter 23, where we're told, now these are the last words of David. Now, these are not the final words David spoke to others, but they represent his final formal writing. And just like the previous chapter, they're going to be written here now in poetic form. David describes himself here in verse 1 as the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And that's who he was, a sweet psalmist. David wrote one sweet song after another, marveling at the greatness of God and the need for us all to walk with God in true worship. Just as he poured out his heart, as troubling as our lives might be at times, David's songs urge us to trust and wait on the Lord, who is our rock and our refuge. Now with that, the rest of 2 Samuel chapter 23 shifts, and it's rather sudden, shifting to the names of David's mighty men. Their names are listed here along with some of their military accomplishments, and this is really appropriate. It's kind of like the credits that scroll at the end of a movie, and you might get up and leave. Well, stick around and read. These men effectively made David's life and reign possible. These are the men God used to rescue David and provide for him. They fought alongside David. They brought great blessing to David's life. So let's not skip the credits here. 30-plus men are named here in this chapter. These men are the core of David's army. Their names are also recorded over in the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 through 47. And in that list, the men are called chiefs of David's mighty men who gave him strong support in his kingdom. And that's together with all of Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord. Now, three men here in David's what we could call Hall of Fame stand out with special honor. The first is Josheph Bashabeth, and he's called here in verse 8, back in 2 Samuel chapter 23, chief of the three. Now, he's known for this incredible feat of killing 800 enemy soldiers one at a time. Can't imagine that battle. Second mention here is Eleazar, the son of Dada. He's described here as boldly standing with David against the Philistines, striking down the enemy until his hand was weary and his hand clung to the sword, verse 10. Through him, the Lord brought about a great victory. The third man given special honor here is Shema, verses 11 and 12, and it describes how he stood against the Philistines on a plot of ground full of lentils. And his fellow Israelite soldiers, by the way, fled, leaving him alone to face these enemy warriors. But again, now the emphasis is that through him the Lord worked a great victory. This is the Lord working through them. Now, I don't know for sure, but these three men might have been the same men who once broke through enemy lines to bring David a cold drink of water from that famous well in Bethlehem. But what I do know is that all of these men here made the life and ministry and kingdom of David possible. Also listed in these special credits are other notable men like Abishai. He killed 300 enemy soldiers here in verse 18. Benaiah, he defeats an Egyptian warrior. And verse 20 tells us that he also killed a lion that was evidently threatening his comrades. I think it's interesting that in this list is also the name of Uriah the Hittite here in verse 39. His name just sort of stands as a silent and tragic reminder that David's adultery led him even to the murder of one of his finest, most loyal soldiers. Have you ever considered the fact that your victories in life, your successes are dependent on loyal, faithful people around you? No one is an island unto himself. I think we ought to make sure we act like David here in this account, and let's give credit to where credit is due. And that means even recording the name of someone that you might have failed. Well, until our next wisdom journey continues again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called A Final Poem and a Hall of Fame. Stephen is continuing his teaching series through the Bible here on the Wisdom Journey. Our ministry currently has resources in 8 languages. Our vision for this Wisdom Journey is to be in the top 45 most spoken languages of the world. 99% of the world's population can understand those 45 languages. Learn more about our global vision and how you can help make it possible at wisdomonline.org. And join us next time as we continue the Wisdom Journey.